Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
How are you, Jasmine? And also, Hana, how are you?
Okay, I'm fine, thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Dula chimin ha 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 ti chelura al tekimo yitzak sadi kabel rina afar sadvein ha reinu lo ra fresh iron since at noon. Na gibor dor sheyechud ha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tami Dam Lane Betet Resh Saritav Gimel Kasin Kadosh Zero Tucha Nael Adata Ket Kufbet Tet Menayim Yachid Geer Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Heizayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kuf Bav Tari Yud Ta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes that we do for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum V'chanun. Erech Apayim. Vera chesed ve'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, noseawon wafesha, v'chata'al v'nakei. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects us to the energy of certainty. It's from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarichu, ishkinte b'tchilu, erhimu, tchilu, tchilu, erhimu, le'achta l'shem yudhe b'bavhe, yichuda shilin b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Adeinu Konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekudsha Berichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Wittata Kola Ihu Yishok Biovada Dikshot, Beleit Lach Mila, Bi Alma Devae, Farnash Ledachia, Leia Minea, Ulan Hagabea, Kulana Dehakulu, Ovada Dikshot, Inun Wikola, Itzderich Bi Alma. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is Bao Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayidchal Vayavo, Amelech Liriotau, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Natamar Achoti, Utlabe Leene, Shite Levivot, Vievre, Miada. The second verse that connects to the energy of 5778 is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet, is concealed. The letters of the name are separated by three letters each. Katati odiacha viavoni lohisiti amarti ode ale pesha'a ladonayo hewahe viata nasata avon achatati sela. Year 5777 has the energy of the goat. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod tzaduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to create Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters, the translation is Ir Yam, Sea of Tenants. The second verse also has the name of the year concealed within it. In this case, it's separated by seven letters each. The verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Ki im ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu le-ha-shit et kol ha-olot v'yehaskum achechem. Alevin ad kelo tam lacha yad yitkachu hakohanim ki alevin yishrelevav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters, we're able to create eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yolayo Alame Hey 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 Aka A Rekaha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu Ba Adonai Ade Ad Kibia Yo hey Adonai Yo hey Wahe Durolami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni, lo tarbeni Ad Billy Ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachavoyim Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavtem Eli Onahum Wichalachti Yitchem Wichayim Yeshno Baretz Vechipasti O Tob Kol Alfe Yehuda. And the third is also from Job. Kigelo Lanetzach Yoved Roav Yomru Ayo. That verse is from Job chapter 20, verse 7. The year 5774 connects to the energy of peace in the Middle East. The verse, there's only one verse in the Tanakh that connects to it, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom liami liYisrael untati vushakam tafta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosyotzifu v'nei avla anoto ta asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. Since we're in the month of Hanukkah, and silence is part of what's important in this month of Kislev, we're going to scan the chart. I will say the row number so that we can all connect together. Row 1. Row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. There are three names in this chart that connects to the year 5778. Name number 13, name number 14, and name number 30. Name number 13 has the energy of heaven on earth. Name number 14 has the energy of farewell to arms, and name number 30 has the energy of building bridges. The 72 names of the Tzaddikim, we will follow the same pattern. I will say the row number as well. Row 1. Row 2. Row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, and row 9. In this chart, name number 30 is the same letters, the same name, the same attribute, the same location as name number 30 in the 72 names of God. And it connects to the year 5778 also. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 24th day of Kislev, Shimon ben Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Yechia Plach, Rabbi Shmuel Yitzhak ben Rabbi Yehuda Rosenfeld, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Menachem Mendel Panetz, Rabbi Chaim Hager, Rabbi Chaim Hezkiyahu Medini, the Tzedei Chemet. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class will be continuing our preparation for Hanukkah, which the first lighting for Sunday is tomorrow evening. You can find the handout on the revealed or unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage, or at the bottom if you're using a mobile device. When you open up the unique astrological times, that landing page, please scroll down to where it says Hanukkah. And then there's a number of links, and we are going to start our class tonight with Hanukkah class 4. Where in the Torah is a hint to Hanukkah? Hanukkah at the beginning. When did Hanukkah begin? The typical answer, this is a commentary, but the typical answer to that question is that Hanukkah began with the Greeks and the rebellion against the Greeks. But let's read and learn more. Where in the Torah is there a hint to the holiday of Hanukkah? The brightest candle, once it is revealed, is concealed twice. Once revealed, twice concealed. This teaching is explained in one of Rabbi Ashlag's essays, the title of which is Once Revealed, Twice Concealed. And you will find it on Rabbi Ashlag's landing page on the Hashem webpage. True or false? A candle burns brightest in the dark. The answer is, from the candle's point of view, no. It burns the same way in the light as it does in the dark. From a person's point of view, yes, because as the only source of light, it is easily noticeable, even from a distance. And there you have it in a nutshell. Why did it take 36 generations and the Chashmonaim or Hanukkah to make it to the outside world and become a holiday unto itself? Until that time, as dark as it had been, it still had not been dark enough. Hanukkah even occurs each year at the darkest time of the year. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, way ahead of ourselves. The real answer to the question begins much earlier. In fact, it even predates creation. The blemish of the 974 generations was besod the letters Eleh from Elohim, causing the Aleph, the Lamed, and the He of Elohim to become separated from the Yud Mem. While in a state of exile, the Yud Mem remains above. In the future, they will be joined together as one, and the name Elohim will be completely rectified. On that day, God will be one and his name one. Before discussing the 974 generations, there is the issue of the name of God, Elohim. Even though we write all five letters together and pronounce them as one word, in reality, they currently exist as a function of exile, as two independent parts, Aleph Lamed He and Yud Mem. What does this mean, and how is it manifested in history? The Torah already answered this question when it wrote, "The hand is on God's Yud-Heh throne." The hand of the Holy One, blessed be He, was raised to swear by His throne, to be at war and have hatred against Amalek for eternity. Why is the name divided into two? The Holy One, blessed be He, swore that His name will not be complete and His throne will not be complete until the name of Amalek is completely obliterated. The Torah only writes the Yud-Heh of God's four-letter name, leaving off the Vav-Heh, as Rashi explains. Just as God left off the Aleph of Kisei, which is a throne, to indicate Amalek's negative impact on creation, He put His name short to make the same point. If it wasn't for Amalek, no one could ever doubt the existence and the involvement of Hashem. The division of Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh is essentially the same as the division between Aleph Lamed-Heh and Yud-Mem of Elohim. It means the same thing and has the exact same effect because they both correspond to the ten Sephirot. The ten Sephirot are the system used by God to run creation, corresponding to the five worlds, Keter to Adam Kadmon, Chachma to Atzilut, Bina to Briah, Chesed through Yesod to Yetzirah, and Malchut to Asiyah. They are the spiritual channel for His light and the means of communicating and implementing His will. As the light makes its way down the system from Or En Sof to Keter to Chachma, all the way down to Malchut, it is continuously constricted. The amount of light held back on any given level is precisely what God wants held back at any given moment for the sake of the purpose of creation. Exile is when so little light comes into the world that man can deny God and His authority. Pharaoh said, "Who is God that I should listen to His voice to let the Jewish people out? I do not know God, nor will I let the children of Israel out." This is what it means for the Yud-Heh to be separated from the Vav-Heh, and the Yud-Mem from the Aleph Lamed-Heh. This is the reality of Amalek, and the reason why God takes His attacks personally, so to speak. My commentary. The energy of Amalek is doubt, since the gematria of Amalek is the same as the Hebrew word Safek, which is doubt. The gematria is 240. Hashem has no doubts on any subject. redemption. Therefore, is an intellectual counterattack. It is when enough light comes through the system for man to at least notice Hashem. So the necromancer said to Pharaoh, it is the finger of God. When enough light makes it into the world to make it impossible to deny the reality of God, then it is full redemption. This is an unwritten commentary. But these are different ways of understanding the code words exile and redemption. Different definitions, different points of view. But it's helpful in understanding and connecting to the Or Ganuz, the hidden light that is the light of Hanukkah. Redemption is a situation, a revelation of light that makes it impossible for someone to deny God. Exile is when there's not enough light to even notice God. Pharaoh quickly called Moshe and Aaron and said, I have sinned against God, your God, and thus against you. Had this level of light been maintained, the Messianic era would have begun then and there. It wasn't, because the Jewish people, the children of Israel, had yet to go free to receive the Torah and to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Consequently, there was still time to stumble. And 3,300 years later, Mashiach has still not yet come, meaning we're still stumbling. The battle against Amalek, a war of spiritual attrition for sure, continues. There have been many ways to describe it, and it has taken on many forms over the millennia. But all of it can be reduced to a single objective, the rejoining of the Aleph Lamed He and the Yud Mem. Amalek works to keep them apart and leave man in doubt about Hashem. Torah works to draw them together and bring the final redemption. We don't have to worry about the Yud Mem, as it says, they ascended to a safe haven up in the Sephirot, out of the reach of Amalek. The tragedy is that the entire time they remain there, man has either limited or no access to them, resulting in a very confused and spiritually dangerous world. They won't return, however, until the Aleph Lamed He is ready for them. Not only is that something we can do, it is what we must do. That is our avodah. Our avodah for Hashem, our service to Hashem. This is what we recall and accomplish when each year we light the 36 candles of the Hanukkah. It's what Adam HaRishon was supposed to have done by not listening to the snake and avoiding the sin. It is what Noah was reminded of when he sent the dove from the ark. He waited another 7 days and again sent the dove into the exile of the Greeks who blackened the faces of the children of Israel. the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, there was an olive leaf torn off in her mouth. Had not God enlightened the wise to light the candles with the oil of the olive, the survivors of Yehuda would have been lost forever. From the moment the leaf was torn off in her mouth, 25 was made to dwell upon the Jewish people. The 25th of Kislev. It's what Yaakov Avinu was doing when he poured the oil over his monument. And when he went back to the jar of oil that night, when he fought with the angel of Esau. That's why victory resulted in the name change to Israel, because drawing out and revealing the hidden light is what it means to be an Israel. The fact that Yaakov could not reveal his prophecy about the end of days indicated that in spite of all his efforts to reveal the light of 36, he still fell short. There was darkness in his time, but even Laban, his trickster uncle and father-in-law, believed in God and acknowledged his hand in history. This is why, in spite of the miracles God performed for Yaakov, Laban could still try and kill him. It wasn't until the Greek exile that the world became dark enough. The world sees the Greeks as the source of light in history. The Torah sees it just the other way around. The earth was null and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness refers to the Greek exile, which darkened the eyes of the Jewish people with decrees. The biblical idea of God has been fading for generations, and the Greeks and Hellenists had gone so far as to write God out of history, ordering them to write on the horn of an ox that they have no portion in the God of Israel. Ordering them, the separation between the Yud Mem and the Aleph Lamed He was at its worst during that exile. History, spiritually speaking, had hit rock bottom. Then came the Hashmonaim. They mounted both a physical and spiritual suicidal resistance. It had to be. It was the only way to make clear that a life without Hashem and Torah is no life at all. Certainly not one worth living. It had to be so that when they won the war, they found the jar of oil and it burned for 7 extra days, it would be clear that Yud Mem and Aleph Lamed He belong together. Elohim is alive and well and functioning in history. A person who is real with Elohim acts accordingly, even when intoxicated. If a person who truly believes that God runs the world, they are not stingy with their money. They know that God gave it to them and can just as easily take it away from them. So why not use the money meaningfully? My commentary. What is a meaningful use of money? Donations to someone or some organization that spreads the light, called the Or Ganuz, the hidden light, in the world, Hashem is doing that. A person who lives with the reality of Hashkacha Pratit certainly does not lose their temper. Losing one's temper implies an injustice has been done, one that God would not have agreed to. As the Talmud says, no man stubs his finger below unless it was first decreed above. This is the true measure of a person. Where they stand with Elohim, does their life restore the Aleph of Hashem, awareness, and Hashkacha Prati to the Chaf Samech of Kisei? When you put the Aleph with Chaf Samech, you get a throne, which is the word Kisei. Do they live in a way that reunifies the Yud Mem with the Aleph Lamed He of Elohim, with the Vav He, with the Yud He of God's holiest name? Do they? Do you? Yaakov Avinu did, which is why he journeyed for 36 years. He married a woman, Leah, whose name has a gematria of 36, and whose other wife, Rachel, died at the age of 36. The Chashmonaim did, which is why their victory occurred at the end of the 36th century from creation, and resulted in a holiday of 36 lights. Oh, and one more person did as well, but he deserves a chapter of his own. My commentary. Tune in for further explanation. This is the end of the essay. Does anyone have a question? Is the essay too esoteric to follow its connection to Hanukkah? Is it not clear? Where in the Torah is the hint to Hanukkah? Everything is in the Torah. You are in the Torah. Where in the Torah are you? By living your life, by doing your mitzvot, you will learn the merit to know where in the Torah is your soul being discussed, described. Very powerful discussion. Are there any questions?
I have a question. Back at the beginning, when it said Aleph Lamed He would rejoin with Yud Mem, I wondered, because it's a Holam Vav, well, it's not a Holam Vav, it's just a Holam for the O. Will the Vav also come back to make it a Holam Vav?
A very good question. Where does the name Elohim connect to the Sephirot?
Is it Malchut? I don't think so. I can't remember the names.
Yeah. You're doing well. It is Malchut.
Okay.
Elohim connects. Does Malchut have any light of its own?
No.
When does the name Elohim operate in Malchut versus when does Adonai operate in Malchut?
That I don't know.
The Vav represent what Sephirah?
I would think you so. No, Zeron Pin.
Correct. Zeron Pin. It's got a gematria of 6. It's
right.
Connected to the 6 Sephirot of Zeron Pin. So when Elohim is complete, meaning the Vav is present, Malchut is fulfilled by Zeron Pin. There's a unity between Zeron Pin and Malchut. What is the Organuz doing during the holiday of Hanukkah?
Shining bright.
On the first night of Hanukkah, the light of the Organuz comes into the vessel of what? Comes into the vessel of Bina.
Okay.
It's like a candle in a football stadium. You know it's there, you can see it in the distance, but it's not fulfilling Bina, is it? What happens on the second night?
Goes to the next episode.
The light of Yesod comes into the vessel of Bina, while the light of Malchut is pushed out of Bina down into Chesed. On the third night, what goes on? The light of Chod pushes into Bina, and the light of Yesod gets pushed into Chesed, and the light of Malchut gets pushed into Gevurah.
So light
each
is moving from up and down? Up from Malchut and down from Bina.
There's light and vessel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what is each night? The light is pushed down to a lower Sephirah, and each night that light goes into Bina. And it is only when you get to the eighth night, to Zot Hanukkah,
right,
that the right light is in the right vessel at the right time. And if mankind has the right consciousness, then the Vav, Zeron Pin, unites with Malchut. That is what will replace the Vav or reconnect the Vav. That is what connects the Aleph Lamed He with the Yud Mem.
And that's why each night the meditations are so important.
Correct.
Okay. All right, seemed like there was one other thing. Let me kind of think about it. See, what was it? You asked where was it hidden? Well, where is it hidden in the Torah? And I found that the 25th word of the Torah is the word light. It's Or.
That's correct. That is correct.
And then the 25th journey in the wilderness is called Hasmonia, which is the name, the family name, the surname of the family that
correct
we call the Maccabees. Okay, so there's
correct
two hidden there.
And the third one, the essay talked about the 974 generations. What are the 974?
That was new to
that
me.
Was before. Okay, that is before creation. The 974. Moses is the 26th generation after creation. There are 10 generations to Noah. Then there are 10 generations to Abraham. Then there are 6 generations to Moses. So if you add the 974 generations before Adam to the 26, meaning up to Moses, you have the 1,000 generations. What does the 974 represent? All of those in every culture, we have this idea of Atlantis and the one in the big continent in the Pacific.
Lemuria.
What's it called?
Lemuria, I believe. L-E-M-U-R-A.
Yes.
It was Atlantis and then Lemuria. Lemuria.
And the conflict between those two continents, between the peoples of those two nations, that conflict is what separated the Yud Mem from the Aleph Lamed He.
So that was in Peleg's generation, when the continent separated.
Yes.
Okay.
That's when they got separated. And in the Torah, let me find it, because it's at the beginning of the essay.
It's right at the very beginning when it starts, the blemish of the 974 generations.
That's what separated Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't yet come back together. That's why the Vav is missing from from the spelling of Elohim.
Okay, now there are a lot of words in the Torah that the Vav is missing. And I always felt
I was answering the question, so we were talking over each other.
Okay.
So,
okay. Go ahead.
The hint of the 25th is the dove tearing the leaf of the. What leaf does the dove tear when Noah sends the dove out and then waits 7 more days?
Mm-hmm. I remember
he tears the branch. He brings back an olive branch. What does the olive relate to? Oil.
The oil. And you had that in one of your commentaries that you sent us on Sundays coming back. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the 25th is the gematria of that. The 7-day wait is all part of that. That's the story of Noah sending the dove out to, and then him coming back with the olive branch. That is the hint to Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find it very quickly, but it's lightly said in this essay. It's not clear, I agree, but it's part of the hinting.
You've got it. The dove came to him in the evening, and behold, there was an olive leaf off in his mouth.
Right.
Verse 8, that's the verse 11.
From the Torah.
Right. So I think because we think of that box of candles, that's I found myself doing this years ago before I learned about the 36. And that was the idea. We've got 44 candles in our box.
Yes.
And so we had that kind of in our consciousness, 44, when it's really 36, and the rest of them are the shamus candles, the servant candles. They aren't considered part.
What word is the 44 hinting to?
Okay, let's see.
You break it down to 40 and then 4.
And then Dalit, I was thinking.
Reverse the letters, Hama.
Dalit Mem. Dumb.
What's the word? Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the soul?
In the blood.
In the blood. What is blood? What's the negative side of the soul in the blood? Blood is a hint to bloodshed, a hint to war. What did we have to do to reveal the light, to reconnect the Aleph Lamed He with the Yud Mem? What do we have to do? What did the Chashim and Naim have to do? They had to shed blood, the fight.
But the fight is against Amalek.
Always.
Okay.
What do I stress that you need to have in order to make the tools
certainty.
Work properly?
The day.
And what is the opposite of certainty?
Doubt. Amalek.
Doubt. Amalek.
Well,
everything is united. Everything is one. It's always tied together. But we are in this world of separation. We have to search. What is Haskadia Pratis? What is the meaning of it? The meaning of it is find Hashem in the illusion. Look past the veil. Haskadis Pratis is a way of describing history. Because history is where God hides himself, or herself, or itself. We have many thousands of people in this world who enjoy history. Many thousands who study or teach history. But they teach it from a frame of separation. There was one empire and it failed, and another one arose, and then it failed, and another one arose. Is there any separation between those empires? They all have one concept. They all operate in one frame. I'm right and you're wrong. I'm right and the other guy is wrong. Where is God? He's in history. He's concealed himself in history. So are we lighting the candles tomorrow night to celebrate history? We're lighting the candles tomorrow so that we can see Hashem where he hides in history. Any other questions, I hope? We still have a few minutes.
Well, I'm curious who this next person is. and curious is not a good word. Now I've got to search out who is this next person. Is it Joseph?
Well,
you don't want to tell us yet.
I have the same curiosity.
Well, every
and
year
when
I
it, when it,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I was complete.
Well, every year I read The Wonderful World of 36. It's written by Rabbi Pinchas Winston. It's a little small book. I've had it for a number of years. And
I'm familiar with it. It's a wonderful book.
Many of the quotes from your essay here of Rabbi Ashlag's, like the idea of Leah being 36 and Rachel died at 36. And by the way, Leah died at 45, at age 45. That went through my head when you asked me about 44. But that struck me at first. But anyway, it's a wonderful little book, and it's really has a lot in it. So maybe I'll find the answer in there. You can read it in one sitting.
Yes, you can.
Small,
it is
a little book. Mm-hmm. And then on the very back page, it says, "Where are you?" Your same question.
You know, he's still sending out a weekly email. Anybody have any other questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Brandy.
For me, this is listening for tonight, everything that you talked about Hanukkah, kind of validate, I'm not exactly sure what, but I went out to lunch with a friend today. And their sister was with them. And we were talking about the very same thing. Where was Hanukkah located in the Torah?
You found out. You can call them and tell them.
I found out. I can call and tell them.
Well, I'm disappointed you don't remember that I taught it.
Barbara, look, I don't even remember. It's nothing against your teachings. They're all wonderful and very informative. But my mind just doesn't remember. I can't even remember half of the things I did today or tomorrow.
Well, you know the secret to memory, don't you?
No, I'm afraid to ask. Repetition.
Well, learn the same thing 101 times. That's why the Orthodox people blow the shofar 101 times on Rosh Hashanah for repetition. For memory.
Wow.
So you only have 99 more to go.
All right.
Barbara taught it to you once. I taught it to you once. You only have 99 more to go. What's the problem?
No problem.
That means we got to live for 300 years.
There you go. What can I say?
You all have a beautiful holiday. Happy Hanukkah, Freilich Hanukkah. And always
Happy
remember, this is the light that Hashem put away for the righteous. So during these 8 days, you are righteous.
Yay.
That means you can't do things usually.
Well, since I don't remember, then I won't remember if I usually do it.
Hanukkah Sameach. Everyone have a beautiful holiday.
Are we doing the invitation tomorrow?
At the 7 o'clock class, we'll be doing a meditation for each night of Hanukkah, except basically other classes like Friday night and Saturday night. Or no, Saturday night we'll do it, but just Friday night we won't. But if you look on the unique astrological events, you can see there's a different meditation for each night, and we will be doing them. And as we say the blessing, we'll also be doing the meditation for the Nair, for the candle.
Isn't it too late for us, like 9 o'clock, to do the lighting?
It's 10 o'clock, and the answer is the lighting can be done up until sunrise. But it's better to do the lighting earlier when people can see the candles in your window or in your door. But, you know, there's practicalities, and time is an illusion, so we're going to do it at the 7 o'clock West Coast time, which is 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain. And we'll do it at that time. But mind over matter, time is an illusion. So we just take ourselves back in time to that moment when the sun sets.
Which gives me an opportunity to do candle lighting with my family.
Correct.
And then
do
have a reason.
And then connect to the energy of our candle lighting as a community.
Right. And I guess the first triad of the 722 name would also be a good thing to really look at when we do the 722 names. Okay. All right.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
So, but if we light the candles earlier than the 10 o'clock, we cannot light it again.
Who said?
I was, you know, I heard a teaching that says that you just light once every time.
No, you can light them as often as you want. You can only say the blessing. It's recommended that you only say the blessing once.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, you say the blessing once. Okay.
So light it in your house with the blessing. And then you'll listen to the blessing that I will say. And you'll answer amen.
One thing that I think will be, you know, the best thing is to do the meditation at the moment.
The best thing is to do the meditation when you say the word Nair.
Yeah. And one more thing. Out of all the handouts, where is the first meditation for tomorrow?
On the unique astrological times link, just below where we clicked on the link for today. The first thing below it is the meditations for the words of the blessing. And then below that, you see, let me read it so I'm saying it exactly.
I'm at the handout right now.
Hanukkah Kavanot for the 25th day of Kislev.
Okay.
And then the one under that is for the 26th day of Kislev. And you'll see all eight.
So that's what we're going to read tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
There's only one of them that actually had a date. I don't remember which one. But first night, second night, I don't think there was, we put, you put Tesla date, but we didn't put the secular date. There was only one, and I don't remember which one anymore.
Understand. Jasmine, are you confused?
Yeah. No, no, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm fine. Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone. Shalom.
Happy Hanukkah. Shalom.
Happy Hanukkah. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.